Welcome to the Art and Jennifer Show. It is Monday, August 5th. Heidi Glaus is sitting in for Art Holiday all this week because he is getting shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to have you here. Thank you.
I am enjoying every minute.
You can also hear Heidi every afternoon on the Guy Phillips Show with Heidi Glaus from 3 to 6 p.m. here on KTRS. Earlier today, we were talking about manners, and we're so thrilled to have Nancy Schnobelin-Ims in the studio with us today from Polished, because I think when we learn manners as children, it takes us a long way in life.
There is absolutely no doubt about that, Jennifer. And hello, Heidi.
Hi.
Say, you know, I like to tell parents and grandparents and teachers and children that when you learn manners at a young age, it just sets you up for success later in life. And not only that, it gives you the confidence, it gives you poise, mm-hmm. it gives you that extra sense of grace. So when you're at school, you tend to get along better with your peers, with your teachers. And then when the time comes and you're out there pounding the pavement for your work, you do better in your jobs.
And, you know, Nancy, I have a nephew, Grant, who's in his 30s now, married with a baby. But when he was young, he was so shy that he says now, looking back, knowing good manners just helped him because he knew mm-hmm. when somebody came into the house, he would stand up, shake hands, mm-hmm. establish eye contact, say, "How do you do? I'm Grant." You know, and he just knew what the rules were, so it helped relieve his social anxiety.
I love that because, quite frankly, when you know the rules, when you know these super simple acts of kindness that we want to make complicated, it lets you carry on conversations. You have all that behind you now that you could focus on the person next to you. And you're right, it does relieve some of that nervousness or anxiety that often comes when you're a child,
now,
speaking to adults.
Have certain things changed? Like I was talking earlier that I grew up about 3 hours south of here mm-hmm. and was taught to say Mr. and Mrs. and yes, sir, and no, sir. And I'll never forget when I was an intern at Channel 5 and I was walking down the hallway and I called Jeff Fowler Mr. Fowler.
Love
and
that.
He was offended because it made him feel old. And so now I still struggle with that line of offensive, you know, or like here at work.
Right,
do I
right.
call Mark Dorsey Mr. Dorsey?
Well, and Nancy, what about cultural differences? Because I have heard people of color tell me that it's not that polite to use their first name.
Right.
If I'm not on that first, if mm-hmm. they haven't invited
right.
me to do
right.
so.
Right. Well, I love the sense of respect. When you don't know somebody and you want to be, you know, respectful to them in an email or in, you know, person, yes, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss is perfectly suitable. In fact, it shows that ultimate respect. Now, to your point, Heidi, somebody may say, "Oh, it makes me sound so old. Please call me Nancy." That's okay. Then, but you're doing the right thing. You're
okay.
setting that standard, that gold standard of respect.
I know some little kids who came from the Filipino culture, and they would always call me Miss Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
never
mm-hmm.
first name.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was sweet.
And you bring up a good point as well. You know, we live in such a global world today, being mindful of the different cultures. Sometimes if you're going to a meeting and there'll be different backgrounds, ethnicities, take the time to do a little research, right? Because
great advice.
That is, it just will speak volumes about your credibility, your reputation, and you as a person.
I hope families are still eating dinner together.
Maybe on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm. Because that's a good place to start to teach young mm-hmm. children manners, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt. And it starts from home, really. It starts from home, from the parents, guardians, grandparents, older siblings, whomever. When you set that standard, it really, you know, hopefully starts to get in with somebody's DNA and they do something, you know, the simple manners. But you're right. Just sitting at a dining room table, having dinner, posture is so key. Being able to sit up straight, you know, don't put your feet on the chair, the seat of the chair. Don't curl your legs up, things like that. Feet flat on the floor. Simple.
We're all
just
sitting up straight.
Right?
As you're saying
yes, we're all feeling a little. But again, when you sit up straight, it elevates your confidence and you exude confidence and no elbows on the table.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's especially as we've all gotten more casual.
Right.
You know, I think you see that a lot more.
And that's not to say we still can't be casual. There's just rules, right? Just like there aren't anything in life.
Once when I was little, a friend of mine came over for dinner and she started singing at the table. And my mother said, we don't sing at the dinner table. And my little friend said, we do.
Oh, that's so darling. Again, you know, you never want to single anybody out because that, you know, that's poor etiquette as well. You know, it's being sensitively aware of others. But at the same time, we have protocols. We have manners. We have rules that once you have them down, then you can move on to the next challenge in life. And you don't have to worry about the manners.
And people do have biases. For instance, if you're having a meal with somebody who chews with their mouth open, that's rude. And if, let's say, you're on a job interview having a meal, that could really hurt someone.
Well, it's not, we don't like it, but first impressions are huge and they matter. We have 5 to 30 seconds in life to make a first good impression. So having said that, you know, there's all these studies out there that say if you practice something in 21 days, chewing with your mouth closed for 21 days, it's done. It's part of your routine. So practice makes perfect in anything that you do, whether it's a golf swing or, you know, table manners, practicing. And really, 100 days of doing that skill, it's part of your DNA.
At what age should children learn not to interrupt?
How about adults, too, Jennifer? Can we throw that in the mix as well? Children are sponge, right? They're a sponge. They are great in learning different languages and understanding different cultural differences. But interrupting is a no-no at any age. So learning to listen, I always like to instruct when I'm working with children, even young adults, listening is a really important skill because that gives you the information you're hearing to be able to then think about your reply or how you want to add to that conversation. So I would like to say, you know, once they start talking, you know, even though a two-year-old may not understand no, 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 but you can reinforce it by saying, oh, it's Big Brother's turn to finish what he wanted to say. Or, you know, so in a long-winded answer, at any age, it's critically important and start young.
What about when you're getting ready to get up from the table? What is the proper way for all of us to excuse ourselves?
Well, I'm not going to get into the dirty details, no pun intended, with after finishing eating and the dirty dishes, but you'll always want to take your napkin because your napkin's always going to sit on your lap, but you'll want to remove your napkin. It's going to sit on the left side where it originally was when you put it on your lap.
Not on the plate.
Not on the plate. Thank you, Heidi. Not on the plate. To the left of your where your silverware forks were. And then how nice is it to say as a child to a mom or a dad, may I please be excused? Mm-hmm. And then to take your dish and your silverware and your glass to the sink. You know, it's old fashioned and we remember that as an older, you know, as an older generation, but it's just speaks volumes about respect for mom and dad who prepare the meal or the grandmother. And it shows extra confidence and poise because really when you start to teach, again, as a broken record, repeating these skill sets, you're golden. People will really want to be around you.
Many years ago, 40 years ago, when I first moved to St. Louis, I took a class that a woman taught out of her home in entertaining. And I was just trying to meet people and what have you. But I learned that a gracious hostess will follow suit even if one of her dinner guests does the wrong thing. And this woman was also teaching us White House etiquette, just in case you ever get invited to the White House for a state dinner, that you would know what to do.
Right.
I've never been invited, but I thought that was so interesting that a gracious hostess won't point out that the guest has done something wrong. I don't know, perhaps asparagus the wrong way or pick up the wrong fork, that the hostess will follow suit.
Right.
Well, that's hopefully a great question, too. Like, if somebody grabs the wrong water and you're sitting at a table with five people.
Or the bread plate.
Yes.
The roll.
How do we go with that when somebody else has made the mistake?
Well, that happens. I mean, come on, we're at a big fundraising event and the sandwich, the chairs are all sandwiched together. Nothing. You say nothing. You don't want them to feel like, oh, golly, you made a mistake. You just politely ask the server, oh, may I have a roll, please? He'll get it, right? Mm-hmm. Or you just, you know, hopefully if everybody sees that they took the wrong glass, they'll rotate in the other direction. But again, it's being mindful of consideration and not singling out any faux pas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think, especially in the business world, that if we haven't learned how to hold a fork properly, that it can be held against you.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. So recently I was conducting a seminar for a Fortune 500 company on business etiquette, which included dining etiquette. And one of the senior level folks came up to me afterward and said, you know what, Nancy, this is so critically important. People don't realize it, but we have board members who don't know how to use their, he goes, it just bothers me. You know, it's like this level of cachet that you get as you grow, right? Mm-hmm. No matter if you're entry level or a senior level, you want to do things the proper way. And so it does matter. You know, it does matter.
I think one of the other lost arts, a thank you note. Mm-hmm. I am mm-hmm. so happy when my niece or nephew send a thank you note, even if it is for something, you know, even if it's I take them out to dinner. Right. When I get, I keep them. I just think,
I
okay.
love that. I keep them, too. They took the time to write it. I don't want to throw
them.
Yes, especially if a child
yes.
in his or her handwriting and, you know, they're working hard to get that message across. Absolutely. And we don't have to overthink it. Oftentimes people will get stressed out and think, oh, what am I going to say? One, two, three sentences is all it takes. It's the thought. And people do keep them.
You know, once several years ago when Glenn Close came to town, because she has mental illness in her family, and so she was spearheading a campaign
yes.
to reduce the stigma.
Familiar.
And so she was set up in the Four Seasons, and reporters would come and go to interview her. And so, of course, I love her. And I've never done this before, but I brought her a gift. I knew she was a dog lover, so I brought, and a reader, so I bought the book, The Art of Racing in the Rain. And then
a great book, by the way.
Then there was a secretary, Trish Miller, had mm-hmm. a friend. Trish Miller used to be the editor of the Business Journal, who made these zipper pins that were in the shape of a flower. So anyway, I gave Glenn Close this gift and said, welcome to St. Louis, and then we did our interview. I got a thank you note from Glenn Close.
Is it
that
framed?
That said Glenn Close on the little...
you should frame that.
I was so impressed because I was nobody. She didn't have to do that.
But see, she's a regular person too.
Yes,
and it doesn't
is.
Matter, right?
And she has good manners.
Right. Well, let's tip her hat to her. That is wonderful. And you're right. You're right, Heidi. It's become a lost art. We are getting lazy. People will say, oh, I can verbally thank them at the event. Or
a text
when I see
is
them,
not a thank you
a
note.
Text, mm-hmm. especially when you're doing it in acronyms. No, no. No.
I am shocked when people don't send thank you notes for wedding gifts.
Yes. A friend of mine had asked me a question recently. Unfortunately, she was married a short period of time because her husband was diagnosed with cancer and they were only married 6 months. And so she decided not to write thank you notes. It was too painful. But I said, you know what? People will get it that, you know, that you lost your husband. Send it anyway. Send forgive the delay. I've been grieving the loss of my husband. You know, this platter is beautiful and it will help me remember all the great times. So it's difficult sometimes, whatever the situation is, if it's in that kind of scenario. But thank you notes should always be written, no matter what.
Wow. If there are like three little things that you want young parents to take away that they should be, teaching mm-hmm. their child, mm-hmm. what would be those three top manners?
The first thing I will say is those unspoken acts of kindness, holding the door open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe giving up your chair if there's an elderly person next to you who's not sitting down at church or wherever. So those unspoken acts. Using manners, please, thank you. When you're at a restaurant, may I please have a Diet Coke? May I please have an apple juice? It resonates with the servers. They will respect that. You respect that, right? And so the pleases and the thank yous. And today, it's being inclusive, right? Everybody likes to be friends with people who they're similar to, but no bullying. Let's embrace people, especially, you know, today with so much hatred going on. Let's just be more inclusive and open ourselves up to meeting new people.
We're talking with Nancy Schnobel and Ims from Polished. Where can people find you online, Nancy?
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm at stlpolished.com.
You were just talking about good manners in the business world, and I recently switched financial institutions to First Community, and part of the reason that I did it is that the customer service is unbelievable. When you walk in, you're just walking into a bank, and there are all these people there, and they say, hello, may I help you? I mean, right away.
You know what? There's nothing like a greeting,
yeah.
right? Even as a professional, sometimes people don't want to shake your hand, but that's a universal greeting today. And I know we've got, you know, there's situations where maybe somebody's fighting a cold or whatnot, but just looking somebody in the eye, smiling, mm-hmm. saying hello, shaking their hand, it just speaks volumes about their form of social skills and their credibility.
Right. And then Heidi's talking about thank you notes. So I opened a checking account and a savings account because I was switching. And they just treat you like you're the most important customer they have. I think it goes a long, long way. The other thing about First Community, they have branches all over, but they have Saturday and Sunday hours for you. And they're located inside Walmart. So if you want to close a loan, you can do so on a Saturday or Sunday. We're talking about people with kids and people who work. So First Community makes it really, really convenient for you. And I think you might want to try them out and let me know how the customer service is for you. You can check them out online too. FirstCommunity.com.